The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, it is a Monday. Excuse me, my voice still hasn't recovered from the weekend yet. And all I did was really sleep, you know. But welcome to a Monday. It is, today is August 23rd. And as I was preparing the show, I'm thinking, you know, every day I come up with a title for it. And I put together like a graphic for YouTube and for the cover art for the podcast. And like today, we do have a guest coming up, but it's not a major guest. We'll be speaking with Courtney Hostetler. She's the lead attorney for Free Speech for People, which is a group that that is sort of a progressive watchdog group. And they have filed a couple of lawsuits against the GOP or GQP for some of the horrible voter suppression legislation that they've recently passed. I believe these suits are in Arizona, if memory serves. Anyway, we'll talk to her. But today there's just a bunch of stuff. It's a busy day on Capitol Hill. There's a lot of stuff going on. And I'm thinking, you know, I guess these are the dog days of summer. And so I thought, okay, that'll be my theme today, the dog days, because I have a couple of dog stories to share with you that are pretty upsetting. And, well, I thought I should, you know, give some information out where the dog days of summer, where that phrase comes from. And I learned that the dog days of summer are actually over already. Yeah, according to the interwebs, the dog days of summer run from July 3rd to August 11th. Who knew? And the reason those dates during that time, Sirius, the dog star, is the brightest star visible in the sky. So, in case you were wondering, in the summer, Sirius rises and sets with the sun. On July 23rd specifically, it's in conjunction with the sun. And because the star is so bright, the ancient Romans believe it actually gave off heat and added to the sun's warmth, accounting for the long stretch of hot, humid, oppressive weather in the summer. So they referred to these days as dog days. And I guess it stuck. So the term dog days of summer came to mean the 20 days before and the 20 days after this alignment of Sirius with the sun. So it works out to July 3rd to August 11th each year. Who knew? Well, today we're dealing with a few dogs in the news. In the House, blue dogs. See how I did that? Yeah, blue dogs are threatening to derail the Joe Biden Democratic agenda. And we'll get into it a little further. I just thought I'd set it up and explain the dog thing. The other story, we'll get back to that because that's going to take some time. The other story is that today happens to be Andrew Cuomo's final day in office as governor of New York. And you're wondering, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, Andrew Cuomo apparently... Well, I was going to say has a dog, but apparently had a dog. A really cute dog, too. This dog's name is, I'm going to see if I can't pull up a picture for those of you watching on one of the streams to show you a picture of Captain. Here, I'm just going to put this shot up. This is Captain. Cute little, looks like some kind of a German Shepherd mix. Apparently, Andrew Cuomo adopted Captain just a few years ago in 2018. And it sounds like he never got Captain the training that a dog needs or gave him the attention. So let me read to you from the Albany Times Union newspaper today. Governor Andrew Cuomo, who's been staying with one of his sisters in Westchester County in the final days of his third term, recently asked staff members at the executive mansion if anyone would like to keep his dog Captain. Captain has remained at the state-owned residence after the governor moved out last week. What? Who leaves a dog behind? Man. Two state police sources told the Times Union on Saturday that the governor had recently asked mansion staff members if anyone would be interested in caring for the dog. Captain, described as a high-strung mix of shepherd, Siberian, and Malamute, has nipped a few people since Cuomo adopted him in 2018, the sources said, and a mansion staffer recently took the dog home for a few days but decided he was too much. Richard Azzopardi, a senior advisor and spokesman for the governor, lashed out at the allegation that the governor has been looking for someone to care for the canine. He said the arrangement was only temporary because the governor, who is scheduled to resign from office at 11:59 p.m. tonight, is planning to take a vacation. Huh? He also said that he and the governor had more important things to do, to deal with, as the tropical storm Henri was bearing down on southern New York and New England. As a dog lover, that's not how you act. When you adopt a dog, you're adopting this being. You are saying, I will care for this animal, in this case, for the rest of its life, or the rest of my life, whichever comes first. That's not what you do. So, you know what? Good riddance, Andrew Cuomo. Stop hurting your father's name. And I hope somebody good comes to Captain's rescue and gives the dog some training, because that's what it needs. When a dog is rescued, when a dog is adopted from a shelter, remember, I volunteered at the local animal shelter every weekend for the year, a little over a year, until lockdown happened last March. Those dogs need extra patience and caring because they're going from a stressful situation into the unknown. But I digress. I'm happy to talk to you about adopting a dog. No, you don't rent a dog, Stephen Cohen. Damn it. Yeah, more important than you. The dog, you know, look, I'm someone who adopted my daughter and have adopted dogs over the years. And I consider my responsibility to each of them the same. They are under my care. When I adopted them, I said, I will care for this soul for the rest of its life, or mine, whichever comes first. Damn it. All right, so back to the other dogs, the blue dogs. So I turned on the C-SPAN just a little while ago and happened to catch some of the Rules Committee hearing. So there's all kinds of debates going on. What they're voting on today, ostensibly, is, and things change, so don't hold me to this, but at the last time I checked, they were going to vote on the budget resolution, not the reconciliation plan, because that hasn't been written yet. But the Senate already approved the budget resolution. The House also has to pass that. And then they can start actually writing the reconciliation bill. The first step, though, it's got to be passed by the House in order for the Senate or whoever to start writing it. So that's that was what they reconvened to do, right? But in the meantime, there is a group of nine, count them, nine blue dogs. Here's the other dog story. I think some of them were New Dems, but I think the New Dem part of this coalition fell apart. I believe these are all blue dogs, and they're derailing it. They're saying, see, the way it was supposed to be, the way it was set up, Nancy Pelosi and President Biden and Chuck Schumer all agreed that they would bring up both bills, both what was known as the BIF, which is the so-called bipartisan bill, that already passed the Senate. That's what these blue dogs want to vote on now. But Pelosi and Schumer and Biden all agreed they're going to hold that bill until the other one, the budget, the reconciliation bill, is written and ready to be passed, and they will pass them at the same time. Because there's a deal going on between the two factions of the Democratic Party, right? You got the progressive faction of the Democratic Party, and then you got the Republican faction of the Democratic Party. Now, I know they like to call them moderates. That's not the definition of moderate. These are Republican-leaning representatives with D's next to their name. But make no mistake, they are not. I mean, you know, Howie calls them the Republican section of the Democratic Party, right? So, in fact, I'm watching CNN over the weekend, and I was shocked. First, I'm seeing these spots that are, they seem to be put together by Republicans, commercials, I'm talking about when I say spots, ads like telling them not to, you know, don't wait for the other bill to come. No, we want the full, you know, we want to vote on the BIF, the bipartisan bill now. And, basically trying to upend the deal that was cut. This was a deal that was arranged, that was agreed to by both chambers. This is how they were going to do it. In fact, you know what? Before I get to that, before I play for you these spots, let me play a good explainer. It, briefly, came from Sahil Kapoor on MSNBC. So here's what how he explains exactly what is going on here.
The House returning early and planning a series of votes today and tomorrow to move that $3.5 trillion package that is a centerpiece of President Biden's agenda. That's a safety net expansion and tax hikes on upper earners. Speaker Pelosi is facing a rebellion from a group of moderate House Democrats who say they don't want to begin work on that $3.5 trillion reconciliation package until the Senate-passed infrastructure bill is done, passed in the House, and signed into law by President Biden.
Okay,
they have a new op-ed today in the Washington Post digging in on this position. Nine of them saying that they oppose holding that infrastructure bill hostage, their word, to the reconciliation bill. Now, Speaker Pelosi has said for months that these bills have to move in tandem because the votes aren't there to pass one without the other. To that end, a coalition of progressive groups has a new ad campaign out today targeting these nine moderate Democrats, led by Congressman Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey, accusing them of obstructing President Biden and his agenda. Of course, here, this is a high-stakes standoff between the progressive and moderate wings of the Democratic Party with huge consequences for President Biden's agenda. Democrats hope to run on the infrastructure bill and this reconciliation bill, which would include major investments in health care and child care, mitigating climate change, raising taxes on upper earners and corporations to get it done. They want to run on this in the 2022 midterm elections to tell voters, please keep us in power for another 2 years. But of course, they have to pass it first. And Speaker Pelosi is probably going to have to pull a rabbit out of the hat to get all members of the House except three Democrats, which is her margin for error.
All right. I had it ready to go and I just lost the connection to the screen. So hold on. I need to pull this up on the other screen and hopefully this one will stay. It's a good thing. Redundancy is a good thing, right? All right. So what I want to show you is he mentioned the ad by the Progressive Caucus ad, right? So there are two ads that are running. One is, this is the Progressive's ad. All right, let me show you. I'll show you this one first because I have it ready to go. So this, this is the ad from the Progressive Coalition. It's put together by Justice Democrats and included in it is, everyone from Move On to let me see if I can't find the entire list. Damn it! Now I lost it. I don't know where my notes are. But Move On to the Sunrise Foundation, to the Working Families Party. Basically, the big progressive groups all got together and did this ad. This one targets Josh Gottheimer, who is the ringleader of these nine centrist or conservative Dems, as I call them. They're not moderates. But this is the ad they're running targeting those nine members of Congress. And here's how it goes. Here we go.
Joe Biden promised he would build back better. And his infrastructure plan does exactly that. Fixing our roads and bridges, making historic investments in clean energy, education, and broadband, expanding Medicare and childcare. But these nine conservative Democrats are sabotaging Biden's agenda because it would make billionaires and corporations pay their fair share. Tell Representative Gottheimer, stop obstructing President Biden and start working for the American people.
Okay, good ad, right? And I was glad that I saw that because I'm telling you, all weekend long, And I forget what show I was watching. I was watching something on CNN. Oh, the concert on Saturday night. Oy, we'll get to that too. So trying to watch this concert and some other programming on CNN, and I keep seeing these ads pop up. Please let it be on this computer too. Wrong one. Damn it. Okay, so for some reason, I don't know why it's not letting me show anything. Let me try it one other way, because I have that video ready to go. Will it let me do it this way? Add screen capture. No. Damn it. Why is it doing this? That's a Justice Dems ad. Mehdi Hassan. Why is it not in this folder? All right, this is making me angry. Give me just one more second because, you know, I do everything myself. I can download this video onto this computer. God, I was all ready to go. I'm telling you, it was right here on the screen, and then the connection to the window just died. So let me bring it up here. We are going to, I've got these, folder after folder here. Is this it? That's not it. Man, I know this is such great radio, isn't it? Bear with me one more. I'll tell you what, while I'm waiting to do this, no, I can't even do that. I'm sorry. While I do that, I'm trying to chew gum and talk at the same time, which is also not easy. So what I'm trying to do is find for you the, this video, why can't I find it here now? There we go, today's show, and this is the no labels. Okay, so I'm thinking, why are Republicans running this ad on CNN? And then I realized it wasn't. It was actually, not Republicans at all, but the no labels. You know, there are a few of these groups that you know, the Problem Solvers Caucus. Well, there's no labels and there's Third Way. And they're basically trying to turn the Democratic Party into Republican light. Third Way is actually not in league with the no labels people right now, which is a good thing. All right. So I'm able to bring it up this way. So this ad has been running nonstop. I mean, almost every break. Oops. One more second. Hold on. I know there was no audio there. I will give you audio. Give me 1 second. I will not play it without audio. Why wasn't there audio there? So the gremlins, it's a Monday. There aren't supposed to be gremlins here today. All right, now we can do it. All right, so this ad is running virtually nonstop on CNN. I don't know where else it's running, but just know this is these blue dogs. This is the ad running to push to derail the deal that Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Joe Biden made to pass the two infrastructure bills together.
Something amazing has happened in Washington, D.C. A bipartisan congressional group and the president have agreed on an historic deal to rebuild America's bridges, roads, and broadband.
There's nothing we cannot do if we come together as a nation.
But Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are holding the deal back, letting Congress even vote on it without trillions in unrelated spending. Madam Speaker, Leader Schumer, it's time to get out of the way. To rebuild America, let them vote.
What? NoLabels.org. Hey, No Labels. Someone had to say it. All right. It took me a long time to get there, but really? So it's dueling ads. You've got the Democratic groups, the progressive groups, you know, singling out these nine blue dogs, for lack of a better term. And then you've got, the no labels crowd saying, calling out Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. They are working to get things done for us. This, you know, we have like a once in a lifetime chance to pass meaningful legislation that will help people in this country who actually need the help. I'm not talking about the wealthy one percenters who keep getting tax breaks. They're the ones who get these great advantages, mostly from the Republicans. And when the Democrats are in office, it's like always playing defense. Well, finally, there's legislation in the pipeline to help America, not only to rebuild the infrastructure, but to finally fix our healthcare system, well, at least better than it is now, to help working parents, to help students, to help people. Oh, no audio again? Uh-oh. No, you have audio now. You got audio now. To help us. And there's a group of nine idiots who just want to, who want to screw it up. So I started watching one of the hearings on C-SPAN a little while ago. It was the Rules Committee dealing with, I don't know, rules before they get to the vote. They're supposed to be voting pretty soon, but I think they're behind the running late. But the whole thing just, God, is making me crazy. So I'm watching it, and what I notice is Tom Cole, Republican, is chairing this committee for whatever reason, I don't know, or he was at this point, the ranking member was in the lead, and he's not wearing a mask. And Pete Sessions, Republican, is speaking, and he's not wearing a mask. But Sheila Jackson Lee, who was the other speaker along with Pete Sessions, she had her mask on. And it seemed like every Democrat in the room had their masks on, but the Republicans didn't. You know, enough of this already. Can we follow the goddamn science? The fraudit in Arizona. I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but you'll get the connection in a moment. I know No Labels is a group of former Republicans, but they're supposedly like Third Way. It's a group of former Republicans and some conservative Dems who want, you know, the middle road. Those are the centrists, not the nine House so-called Democrats who are trying to screw up this deal, which is so precarious anyway. But anyway, the Arizona fraudit, you know, they were supposed to finally be done today. How many months has this thing been going on? Well, little problem there. It will not be released. This initial report will not come today. It's been delayed because, quote, Cyber Ninja's CEO Doug Logan and two other members of the five-person audit team, I'm reading a quote from the actual statement they put out. Two other members of the five-person audit team have tested positive for COVID-19 and are quite sick. What more do you need? I mean, this is insane. You know, Donald Trump did one of his Nuremberg rallies this week, and I think in Alabama. And when he mentioned you should get the vaccine, people started booing. So he's like, I know, you've got your freedoms. Yeah, you know. He backs off because of the booze, right? But what's his name? The InfoWars guy, Alex Jones, started bad-mouthing Trump, calling him an idiot because he doesn't know that the vaccine is what? It's gonna put a microchip in you. They're still pushing that crap. Meanwhile, today, the FDA gave final approval to the Pfizer vaccine. There's no more excuses. So now the Fox people have been screaming, well, it's not approved. It's an experiment. And why is it taking so long? So today it's approved. So Fox is screaming, well, why did they rush it? There's no winning with these people. By the way, the Fox people, the ones who are telling you not to take the vaccine, they have to take the vaccine or they don't get to go in the building. Fox utilizes a vaccine passport, in case you were wondering. That's happening. By the way, moments after the news broke that the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine has gotten full approval from the FDA, New York City immediately announced that its public schools, all staff, will have to be vaccinated, and there's no opt-out option. Right. No, you know, testing option as a way to get out of vaccine. If you want to be in a classroom, if you want to work in a public school in New York City, you must get vaccinated. That works for me. And then a short while later, the Pentagon announced that the U.S. military will make COVID-19 vaccines mandatory following the FDA approval of Pfizer's shot. So maybe some of these, you know, these flat earthers will finally say, all right, I'll get the shot. Because the alternative is death or bad illness. You want to get really sick? Now, what's not an alternative is it called Invectin? There's another drug that for some reason someone's reading on Facebook, well, there's this drug. It's a dewormer for horses and cows that cures, that'll work against COVID. No, it won't. It won't. And so the FDA, I love this. I don't know if I have this here or not. The FDA actually tweeted, you are not a cow, you are not a horse. Do not take this drug. You know, I mean, that's the way to get your attention. The FDA telling you, you're not a cow and you're not a horse. Okay, so there's that. Yeah. You know, sometimes you just got to wonder, who are these people? How are they? How do we live in the same country? I just don't get it. All right. So all this is going on. There's so many different areas. It's like, you know, the head spinning analogy comes up. But I got to mention what's going on in Afghanistan. And we dealt with this a bit on Friday. And this is my mantra right now. Yeah, was the pullout messy? Yeah. Are people scrambling to get out of Afghanistan who we should have gotten out before? Hell yeah. But the media is doing a really, really lousy job of covering the news. The media that's supposed to be neutral, they seem to be delighting in criticizing this administration. And the people that they're inviting on the various programs to talk about it are all the people that got us into this mess in the first place. From people from the Bush administration, really? And the people who kept us there, Leon Panetta and others, I don't need to hear from them. And so we did some on it on Friday, and we'll keep talking about it because it's pretty reprehensible. Well, Mehdi Hassan is one of the few cable news hosts who I think is doing a really good job. And his show on Peacock, well, on Sunday nights, it's on MSNBC. And so last night, he does this thing. It's like a minute-long rant. I forget what it's called, like the minute rant or something. So he put 60 seconds on the clock to rant about something. And in this case, this is what he ranted about. And I just had to share this with you because it was good.
It's time now for what I call the 60-second rant.
There you
start
go.
The clock.
60-second rant.
One of the most annoying aspects about covering the Biden withdrawal from Afghanistan is that the American public support the withdrawal, and those of us who oppose this catastrophic war have been tragically vindicated. And yet you wouldn't know any of that from the debate we're having right now. Mm-hmm. Our newspaper op-ed pages, our TV screens are filled with people who got it wrong, still trying to lecture the rest of us about what should happen now in Afghanistan. There are the journalists, people in my industry who never covered Afghanistan, never talked about it, helped make it the forgotten war all these years, now expressing outrage over the ending of it. The top US generals and intelligence officials who falsely told us year after year that we were turning the corner in Afghanistan, that we were winning the war against the Taliban and building an amazing Afghan army and a democratic government, even now still insisting we stay just a bit longer. The Bush administration officials who got us into this mess in the first place. The Trump administration officials who signed the damn deal in Doha with the Taliban, both trying to blame it all on Joe Biden. There's the carping and complaining from politicians on both sides, Democrat and Republican, who spent years sending other people's kids to fight and die in what they knew was an unwinnable and unpopular war. So forgive me when I say keep your views on the end of this war to yourself. Personally, I would like a period of silence from all of you, if that's all right. And if you do feel the need to comment on the disaster that is Afghanistan, how about starting with the word sorry?
Sorry. The buzzer goes off when he reaches the end of the 60 seconds. How about starting with the word sorry? Mehdi Hassan is really good. And what's nice is, you know, my other favorite on MSNBC is Ali Velshi. And Ali Velshi is usually the guy doing the fill-ins, and he was on vacation this past weekend and last week. And so Mehdi Hasan stepped in and filled in for Chris Hayes and even Ali Velshi on Saturday morning. That's a good thing. We need more of that. By the way, those of you who are freaking out, thinking, oh my God, Rachel Maddow's leaving MSNBC. I told you she wasn't. She was just, you know, it's contract negotiations. And she's now making eight figures. In addition to her show on MSNBC, she's going to develop projects for NBC Universal. Good for her. I say good for her. Trying to think if there's anything else I need to get to. So there is one other thing. Actually, there's two other things. There's more than two other. There's a lot of other things, but what we're getting to here. On Friday, in addition to talking about the way the media is miscovering the end of the war in Afghanistan, we also talked about the voting rights issues and what we're facing. And it's really bad. One of the things that they will be voting on as the House is reconvened today and tomorrow is not only the budget resolution so that they can write the reconciliation bill, but is also the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. And it is so important that we pass this. You know, what's at stake? And I'm not going to go through it now because we'll do it when I'm talking with Courtney Hostetler in just a moment. But we need to have control over our elections. Our elections need to be run in a free and fair manner. That's what this John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act and the For the People Act would accomplish. It would keep them free and fair. If these individual bills in these individual states are able to pass and basically we lose control of our elections, and the Republicans, and I hate to put, you know, I want to try to not sound so partisan, but it's the Republicans who are doing this. The Democrats aren't doing this. The Democrats are pushing for fair and free elections so that everybody who is, you know, a citizen who is entitled to vote can vote. The Republicans want to keep you from voting, and then they want to be able to control it after the fact. So if they don't like the outcome, they can change it. And that's one of the reasons that Free Speech for People is doing this they filed this lawsuit. I guess we should just get to it, huh? All right, let's just get to it. And we'll chat on the other side, okay? All right. Okay. Take it away, Nicole and Courtney. Joining us on the line now is Courtney Hostetler. Uh-oh. Counsel. Free Speech for People. You can find them at freespeechforpeople.org and, of course, on Twitter. Hold on. That's not working. Let me try it another way. that's not going to work. Oh, I think I know what the problem is. Here we go. Maybe
to protect our rights to vote, among other things. And this time you guys have filed a law.
Nope. All right. I got to figure out why this is doing this. Ah, man. You know, I try to do something a little different. Yes, we taped this the other day. So I got to figure out why that's not working. I wonder if I put it down here, if that will work. Let me try it this way. Sorry about this, guys. Let's try it this way.
Tell us going on, what you've done.
Yes, unfortunately, Arizona is one of a number of states in this country that in the aftermath of this past election, which saw an enormous outpouring of voters, of new voters, of people who may not have voted in recent years and are coming back. Usually this would be seen as a great sign for our democracy, that people are getting engaged. And what unfortunately we've seen is instead a huge outpouring of voter suppression laws being passed in states throughout the country, being considered. In Arizona was one of the states that led the charge. Georgia, as you may know, was another one.
Oh, yeah.
And a number of voter suppression laws were introduced in Arizona. And the two that we are that passed and that we're challenging, one is Senate Bill 1485, which is we are calling the voter purge law. And what they're going to do is Arizona actually has a great permanent early voting list where people can choose to always receive their ballots by mail. Uh-huh. And it's great because it makes voting accessible.
Sure.
Make, you know, people who work really long hours, people who can't get time off on a Tuesday in the middle of the week. It gives people a lot of flexibility in getting their ballot in. And it was enormously popular and has been for a number of years in Arizona. The majority of Arizona voters vote by mail. Mm-hmm. They'll either return it by mail or use a drop box, but in the number is going up every year. And this permanent early voter list is actually now under attack. And what they're going to do is if somebody misses two consecutive election cycles, they're going to be purged from the list.
Wow.
And that's really difficult because, you know, for example, if you're somebody who only votes in the presidential election, you're out of luck and you might not even realize it until it's too late and until you've already been removed from the list. And look, while it would be great to get everyone voting in every local election and every midterm election, that shouldn't be used to keep people from voting, particularly as we know, it looks like when this goes into effect, it could end up having more than 150,000 voters purged.
Wow.
It's going to affect Latino and Black voters much more than white voters. It's going to affect people with lower income level more than people in the upper range of income levels. I mean, you know who it's targeting, right?
Of
this
course.
Is not a surprise. You know who this is targeting. And unfortunately, we're seeing the same thing with the other bill that passed, which is Senate Bill 1003. Uh-huh. And that's a bill that says, so in Arizona, if you submit a vote by mail, you have to have your signature on it. Now, if somebody claims that your signature doesn't match, and we know that's problematic,
yep.
but at least you would have 5 days to cure that. If you don't sign at all, if you forget to sign or if you don't realize you're supposed to sign, for example, maybe if English is not your first language and you aren't sure where you're supposed to sign or if you need to sign, you actually can only cure up to 7 p.m. on election day.
Oh my.
And you can't even go to your local polling place. You would have to go to an election office. And again, you know, if you're voting by mail, it's probably because voting in person on election day is out of reach for you. And so this makes it even more out of reach for folks. You know, there's a lot of people who live, you know, miles and miles and miles away from their county election offices. But, you know, we actually did some research and looking into kind of what does it take even, you know, let's say you live in a city or let's say, you know, you live in a place where things aren't that far away as the crow flies. What you actually find out is when you're trying to rely on public transportation, what could be, oh, it's 10 miles. Anyone can get there. I mean, that could be a 2-hour,
sure.
one-day trip. And that's if you catch the right connections, you know? And so you're looking at people who you get a 20-minute lunch break, you know, or you've got kids to pick up, or you've got, you know, again, it puts it out of reach for people. And again, we're looking at the people who are going to be affected by this law are Black and Latino voters. And
well, of course. But right. Another question about this law, are they just figuring you will all of a sudden just have a revelation and realize that you signed your name wrong or you forgot to sign it and you're going to go yourself by 7 p.m. on election day to fix it? Or are they saying, we'll notify you? This is something that you're supposed to just know?
The law basically says an election official has to do their best to notify you.
Oh, God.
Right. But it doesn't establish what that means. So
right.
What you could get is some counties, you could have election officials who are on top of things and really want to let people know. Other counties, their best effort might not look that engaged to
right.
most people. It could also, frankly, just be maybe these election officials really do want to do their best, but they have a million things going on in the lead up to election day. We know, unfortunately, this enormous slowdown in mail. So you could have people who submitted their ballot a week and a half, 2 weeks in advance, and it's coming in, you know, a couple days before the election. So even if election officials have the very best intention to notify people, it's not clear that they would actually even be able to get that notification in a way that would allow people to get profit. So let's assume best intentions. We know that sort of the institutional parameters around getting your ballot in, there are slowdowns, and we want there to be millions of ballots. We want election officials to have many, many ballots. And so then to put this burden on election officials and voters, it's clearly intended to keep people from polls. And it's clearly intended to keep very specific people.
Of course. And that's how they're doing it around the country. So Free Speech for People filed a lawsuit on behalf of a number of organizations in Arizona, Mi Familia Vota, Arizona Coalition for Change, Living United for Change in Arizona, a few others. So you're working with them to try to block these new voter suppression laws. But this is just Arizona. So for example, I live in Florida. Same thing with the vote by mail. I voted by mail here for years and I'm just automatically in that system where for each election, I get a ballot sent to my house. Well, now, and they didn't even allege problems here in Florida. The election went off fairly flawlessly, but they're doing the same thing where you have to re-register for vote by mail, I think after every two cycles or something. Obviously, the intention is to keep people from voting, right?
Right.
And yeah. And is there anything we can do nationally, so you don't have to file these kind of lawsuits in each individual state to stop these kind of voter suppression laws from going through or taking hold?
I mean, absolutely. And the answer would be to get federal voter protections passed. And you know, we've done that work with the Voting Rights Act. And unfortunately, the courts have just repeatedly rolled back those protections that were intended to be in place for all voters to make sure that our country does allow for safe, effective, and fair voting. And as these protections have rolled back, you see just this an enormous outpouring of new voter suppression laws, right? I mean, there's a hole in voter protection and all it's getting filled by suppression. That's why the Voting Rights Act was passed in the first place back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. It's why it needed to get updated in 1982. And that needs to happen again. So in terms of what we can do at the federal level, the thing that I think everyone can do is put an enormous amount of pressure on your senators, on your congresspeople, and ask them to get voter protection laws passed, to support the For the People Act, to support these acts that would stop voter suppression in its tracks. I mean,
now would the For the People Act do that? Because there's one other major concern of legislation that, again, it's the Republicans trying to push this kind of stuff all around the country. But the most troubling, I do not believe, is addressed in the For the People Act, and that is a provision that would allow a Republican governor, the state, to step in to local election boards and say, your election didn't come off, it was not conducted correctly, whatever that might mean. And therefore, they're going to take away the power of the supervisor of elections in a particular county, and then put in their own people and say, we're going to put in our own electors, and basically upend the fair and free election by the people.
Right.
Is there anything in the For the People Act that would prevent that from happening?
Well, I think that's exactly, you know, in some ways, what we've seen in the aftermath of 2020 is unprecedented.
Yeah.
The idea, I mean, unfortunately, our country has lived with voter suppression and has been fighting voter suppression for decades and centuries. But the idea of, I mean, this is flagrant. I mean, this is flagrant. You putting in election officials with the intention of stealing the election from the people is a new threat. And I think it goes hand in hand with the voter suppression laws that we're seeing, right? We're seeing people come out to vote. And when people don't like, when the leaders don't like what the people have said, they just want to take it. And unfortunately, we've seen how that plays out. We've seen that long-term democracies can crumble. We've seen that, and this is how it happens. And so I think what we need to do is, again, get to our congressmen and get to our senators and say, we need to be on our toes about this. We can't sit back and say, well, our democracy is more or less safe, because I don't think that's true. And we need to get aggressive about not only preventing voter suppression, but making sure that when people need to be allowed to vote, they need to be able to get to the polls and have their ballots fairly counted. And then once that count is done, people can't be allowed to, you know, leaders can't be allowed to come in and change those results because they don't like them. And that's really that's what we're seeing. I mean, these are direct challenges. And I think we're seeing it from both sides, right? Because we're seeing, okay, it's a two-front assault on our democracy. Let's make sure we stop. And again, specifically Black, Latino, Native American voters, make sure their ballots aren't counted, right? So you have this sort of pre-election effort to stop people from getting to the polls and having their ballots counted. And then on the other side is, okay, let's say that we still, you know, enough people that we don't like are still able to vote. Well, let's make sure we have provisions in place where we can take the election from them afterwards. Right. And that's scary. And I think we need to, again, need to be extremely proactive in what we're asking our government to do. And frankly, we need to be really proactive at the local level too. I think it needs to be both, you know, let's be proactive at the federal level, but keep on top of. And this really goes back to, you know, I mentioned earlier, it'd be great to get everyone out to the local elections. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we forget about those because we are extremely busy. And I think our election, you know, we have very specifically created a system of elections in which it's not easy to vote.
Right.
And so it's very easy for very busy people, especially people who work before 9 o'clock in the morning and after 5 o'clock at night to get to the polls, but really, you know, to the extent that we can, and to the extent that we can support people who don't have the same capacity as we do to engage, because they have so many more burdens, then it's really important that we look to these, you know, who are we electing at the local level, at the state level, because they have an enormous amount of power over what our elections look like. So, you know, I think to the extent that we can be aware of all the places that voter suppression and voter intimidation is happening and doing what we can to protect our voters and to protect our democracy, you know, let's get broad and creative about what we're doing. So that, you know, means lawsuits. But, you know, all these amazing plaintiffs that we're representing, Mi Familia Vota, Arizona Coalition for Change, Lucha, the League of Conservation Voters, Chispa AZ, you know, they're doing an enormous amount of work on this lawsuit, but they're working on a number of different fronts to educate folks, to get out the vote, to make sure people understand what's happening, to protect their rights. And they're working on, and you know, frankly, they're spread really thin.
Right.
So the more we can do to support, and this is just in Arizona,
you know,
there's organizations across the country that are creating networks and coalitions, the more that we can do to support their efforts, you know, it's really important to look for, again, all these avenues, because look, the people who want to suppress the vote are looking for every possible avenue to do that.
Oh, sure. And that's why I asked about if there's something that can be done nationally, because as important as it is, and it is, it will only affect Arizona. And they're doing this. Well, I think they're in 40 something states right now, and they'd hit every state if they could to try to suppress the vote. That's why, you know, this is a Herculean effort if you have to go into each individual state and try to stop each of these individual voter suppression laws they're pushing through, because there's tons of them. And just realize also that if this was a thing, during the last election, if these laws were in place, Donald Trump would still be in the White House. He would have stolen this election. We've learned in recent weeks how close he came. And given the tools, this would give them the chance to say, nope, this election was not conducted fairly, and we're going to throw it out and put in our own people and overturn the results. That shouldn't be allowed to happen, but that's the goal of. And I hate to sound so partisan, but these are Republicans doing this. The Democrats aren't doing this.
Well, and again, it's very specifically tied to racial discrimination, to discrimination on the basis of ethnicity, of your race. I mean, this is very specifically targeting Black and Latino and Native American voters.
Sure, because they're more likely to vote for the Democrats.
Well, and I look, I think the reality is there's a lot of racism in the way that we view, our country views who should be allowed to vote.
True.
And we have never really, you know, the Voting Rights Act was supposed to root that out. And for a long time it did. But now that the legs have been cut out from under, especially Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, we saw how quickly many legislatures moved right back in there and who specifically they're targeting. And why they're targeting these people. And there's, again, they are specifically targeting Black and Latino voters. And this, there's a long history of this. And what's really, I think, troubling is not a good enough word.
Right.
Is that it's not just that they're using long-term strategies of suppression and oppression in conjunction with these laws, right? You see, you see the connection between Black and Latino people for years have been, for example, shut out of neighborhoods that might be, say, close to government buildings.
Sure.
So there's a reason that Black and Latino neighborhoods tend to be a 2-hour bus ride from their government buildings where they could get to drop off their voter, right? We understand that years, decades, centuries of oppression have created situations in which Black and Latino voters have to work from, 7 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night, and can't get to the polls, right? That they're more likely to be working on the front line, to be more likely to be vulnerable, for example, in the pandemic. So it became much more dangerous to vote in person. They're more likely to work hourly shifts and therefore not have the kind of, when I want to vote, if I had a long line, if I got there and there was a long line, I would just call my boss and my boss would say, go vote. That's your priority.
But not all votes, not all bosses are like that.
Not all bosses are like that. And for people who are working hourly, for hourly wages, that's a risk that many can't take. And again, this this is very much tied to socioeconomic oppression that has been targeted specifically Black and Latino communities for centuries in Arizona and elsewhere. And then, so these suppression laws, which kind of like, oh, these are neutral, that we're not mentioning anything.
Oh, God.
Very specifically tied, the people who have the hardest time getting over the burden of that these laws place on voting.
Yes.
Are Black and Latino voters. And that is because of systemic oppression. Right.
Absolutely. And this is going to keep going on until we stop it. So there's two fronts that we should act on. One is contact your local state representatives. You have two senators and one congressperson. But then also talk to them about, this kind of stuff that's happening in your state, but also talk about the importance of passing the For the People Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. We need national protections. We need it at the state level too, but to do it in each individual state, we're going to always be fighting this uphill battle unless we tackle it in a major way on a national level. So it's got to be a 2-pronged attack or a 51-pronged attack.
Well, and I will say, I think it is, like you said, a 51-pronged attack, but on the same thing, let's not let the Republican representatives off the hook here. Let's not assume they're lost causes. And frankly, even if they are, we still need to be calling them. They still need to recognize that they have constituents. I mean, make a logjam of their office. Call them 24 hours a day, flood them with calls and focus and let them know that the one consequence is, despite their best efforts at suppressing the vote, that there are people out here who care about the health of the democracy and who do see that they are undermining our democracy, taking away the right to vote, and that there are people who won't stand for it and that it is not too late for them to take a different tact.
Right.
That however different they might feel about the policies, it is appalling that 49 of our senators just don't think that voting rights is something that should exist, who don't think that we should address ongoing voter suppression, especially on the basis of race. I mean, call them out on that.
Absolutely.
Don't just, well, I'm represented by a Republican, I'm not going to bother to call them. You know,
no, you need to call them too.
Call them too. Keep calling them.
Without a doubt. Courtney Hostetler, thank you so much. Thanks for taking on this work and for filling us in on what's happening. Again, people can find more information by visiting freespeechforpeople.org. You can follow them on Twitter at FSFP. And just pay attention and be involved and speak up, because we are the last defense. We've got to fix this or we lose it all. Thanks so much, Courtney. Courtney, it was so nice to talk to you. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. You take care. Thank you. Courtney Hofstetter from Free Speech for People. They're doing great work. I'm glad they're on the case, but it's not enough. It's not nearly enough. All right. While we were speaking with Courtney, the House has been working. So let me give you an update on what's happened now. Heather Cagle at Politico, I'm reading from her Twitter feed. And almost an hour ago, she wrote, "News, Pelosi has made an offer to Representative Gottheimer, and he is socializing it with his group." And then I'm going to read to you the thread. "Next, part of this potential deal, we're told, would be a deeming motion, meaning the budget resolution would be deemed passed when the rule is passed." So first, they were going to vote on the rule, then on the actual thing. I guess she's saying it would be deemed passed when the rule is passed. So to recap, potential deal would, one, deem and pass budget resolution when rule passes as soon as tonight. Two, firm commitment to pass infrastructure bill by October 1st. Three, idea to also have reconciliation ready for vote by then too, likely be pre-negotiating with the Senate. And then a little while later, she wrote, "Caution here, though. No agreement yet, we're told. Still working this out. Hope is to have something for this caucus meeting at 5:30. Okay, so that's 5:30. Now, I'm looking at Ryan Grimm's, and funny, I'm reading everybody's comments on what's going on. Ryan Grimm, of course, of The Intercept. He writes regarding her second point, "The October 1st deadline would be a big win for Gottheimer, but no deal yet." Right. And then a little later, that was 6 minutes ago. And then he just, Ryan Grimm, just a minute ago wrote, "This bullet number two," and that's the firm commitment to pass the infrastructure bill by October 1st. "This bullet number two would hand Manchin and Sinema a ton of leverage and threaten the big package. Pelosi did not end up mentioning it to the caucus, so it may have been wishful thinking from Gottheimer. Floor vote soon." So they had the the caucus meeting, and then I'm guessing, I'm going to pull up C-SPAN again and see what's happening there now. If they are voting, see what is happening. Rules Committee. Okay, that's the rules. House takes up 3.5. Oh, it started at 5:01. House returns to the legislative session to consider the $3.5 trillion budget resolution. Members will also take up the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. But that's not what this is. All right. This is the House session, and this is a for some reason the video that's showing is looks like a Pentagon briefing. So I don't know. Well, they'll be in session tonight. The vote, I'm sure, hasn't even happened yet. But as it does, I will pay attention to it and we'll bring you all that information tomorrow. Tomorrow, of course, being Tuesday, and Laffy wasn't here last week. She will be here tomorrow. So we've got that. The one other thing I wanted to talk about before we run out of time is this big concert that was supposed to be Saturday night in New York City in Central Park. I watched, it was like the first half of it. And then, you know, but they had the New York Philharmonic, which was kind of cool. And they had, they had a bunch of acts on, the old school rappers. There was cool stuff. But the stuff I wanted to see was coming near the end. It was Bruce Springsteen and Patti Smith together doing Because of the Night. Come on. Paul Simon. And they all, well, it started lightning during Barry Manilow's set. Whoops. So it was lightning during Barry Manilow's set. So they couldn't perform. In fact, here's what happened. So Barry Manilow is doing a medley of his hits, and you got to be in the right frame of mind for Barry Manilow. So
I can't smile without you. Can't smile without you.
You know, he was getting ready to do I write the songs, all of those songs. But then this happened. Hold on. All right. You hear the thunder? Elvis Costello. I missed Elvis Costello too, man. Oh.
Please pay close attention to the following safety message, and they
shut it down, and everybody had to leave. Isn't that horrible?
Should move quickly and calmly to the nearest exit.
And it ended. They talked about coming back at 10 o'clock, and it was still raining. So we didn't see Elvis Costello. We didn't see Paul Simon. We didn't see Patti Smith and Bruce Springsteen together. We didn't see any of it. I guess they owe us one. And on that note, I owe you one too. All right, we're done for the day. And by the way, now that it's just us, Barry Manilow is not available for any of his female friends. He has a husband. Okay, one of these days I'll tell you my Barry Manilow story, because I got to meet him when I worked with Mark and Brian, and he was the nicest man you can imagine, who had no problem laughing at himself. Like, self-deprecating humor, he was down with it. He was just so cool, and this was 20-some-odd years ago. So, all right, we are done. I'm not going to play the news today, because believe it or not, I need to come up with a new intro for What's News. Seriously. You know what? We're in overtime now. I guess I can tell you. So what happened was, I told you I got another copyright violation. I get them. You know, I get content matches all the time, but I got another copyright strike, and they took down my streaming for a couple of days and then gave it back to me for whatever reason. But they never identified what the offending content was. And I got 10 years of shows archived on YouTube. I think I have to take them all down, because this strike came from the RIAA, the Recording Industry Association of America. And I emailed them and I said, you know, you gave me a copyright strike, you took down a video, but you never told me what the offending content was. And well, they wrote back to me today. Uh-oh. And it said, Dear Nicole, thank you for your message. The video contained a sound recording owned by an RIAA member company and has not been authorized for use on this platform. Specifically, The Beatles, A Day in the Life, Universal Music Group. And it's Universal Music Group who has given me all of the strikes I've had so far. So I have that on hundreds of videos. So I'm not quite sure what to do. Either I delete, you know, I take them all offline, or I wait for the day that they totally kill the channel. So I got a lot of thinking to do over the next few days. Anyway, so I'm not going to leave you with the news today. But you can go to NicoleSandler.com, click on What's News, and listen right there. Or subscribe to the podcast and you'll get it for free. All right, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. Laugh, you'll be here. Thanks for listening. Bye.